Alloway Parks Recreation Forestry Committee meeting Tuesday, February 28th, 2023. It is 5:30 p.m.
All right, so we'll call the meeting to order and call the roll. Mark Seidel is here. And Jerry Faller.
Here.
Ryan Hallberg.
Here.
And Rob Atwood.
Here.
Okay, go ahead and name the others that aren't here.
Those who are not here are Angela Kowalczyk Adrians, Jason Mathwig, and Michael Borowski.
And all three of those are excused.
All right. So I would look to if we have to modify the agenda or adopt it.
Would you adopt it as is?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? All right, we have an agenda. The minutes from January 31st, 2023, look to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Approved. Public appearances.
We have none, and I received nothing via email.
Very good. Announcements.
Well, we have a couple of new members to our committee, Jason Mathwig and Jerry Faller. Jason, unfortunately, couldn't make the meeting tonight. He's out of town on business. So we'll meet Jason at our next meeting. But with that, Jerry, why don't you tell us a little about yourself, your background, and,
okay.
You know.
Well, thank you for having me join. I owned a title insurance company for about 35 years, sold it, worked for the company I sold to, and then I've always been active with the Catholic school system, so I was the treasurer and finance director for the Catholic school system for about 5 years, and retired again. So
I was trying to place where I knew your name.
Did that, and as people told me, you kind of get involved in different things, and someone reached out to me from the board for the St. Vincent de Paul. So I'm now the finance director for the St. Vincent de Paul organization in Green Bay, which is a free agency. So it's totally volunteer, but it's all good. It's a pretty good organization. So lived in Alloway since '82. Was fairly active in different things. My kids all were park and rec people. I ran a run walk for Grace for a couple of years through the village and through, we had hosted at Rez, so very familiar with Alloway. So.
Well, good. Yeah. Well, welcome.
Happy to join.
Welcome. So. The next item on there, hiring of Joel Inane. For our open parks maintenance position, we have filled that position, and Joel will begin on March 13th. He's from De Pere, has some background in construction, and owns a side business of lawn care and landscaping and stuff like that. So he's got a lot of experience in what we're looking for, and so we're excited to have Joel start, and that will fill our department's empty staff positions. So still have some openings within other departments within the village, but working on filling those as well. So last announcement I have, grant updates. We did receive the grant that we were trying for through the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Urban Forestry grant, and that grant was for tree planting. And in the amount of $17,783. So, because of the grant cycles and they kind of bumped us a little bit. They didn't know if they'd have enough money. So they pushed us off and they were able to fund us. But they also gave us till the end of 2024 to use that money, which is great. So we've got not only this year, but next year to utilize that.
What was the amount again?
$17,783.
That's great.
And that's a reimbursable thing. So we front the money they give us money at the end. So, a couple other grants that we were working on. Coastal Management Grant, which was the grant for the work at along the East River Trail to hire a consultant, you know, for that master plan. Angela actually was involved with that project, with that grant. And we are still yet to hear. We did possibly, you know, they did tell us that, you know, it likely would be funded, but we just haven't heard final yet. So we're hoping to get that. And then the last grant is the New Water tree planting grant as well. And Angela said, again, this grant was working with her and in her position at New Water, that we hope to hear on that in the next week or so. She said they were supposed to hear in February. Well, we're at the end of February, so she's hoping to hear in the next week or so. We'll hear on that one. So, but I think, you know, good news on those. You know, every little bit helps. So.
Can I ask a question? And sure. I don't want to hold our. I noticed the last time we had a miraculous time of 15 minutes for our meeting, so I don't want to run over 14, actually. But so the study for East River Trail?
Yes.
What is that?
It's to look at study of, you know, like the flooding and things like that we've had issues with over the years. So they're to come up with a master plan on, you know, how the flood affects flooding and high water will affect the East River Trail and the surrounding properties and like that, and hopes that that will also, that plan could also be used by other communities to come up with solutions for the future of, you know, flood mitigation, different things like that, so.
So we apply for the grant, we haven't received the money?
Not yet, not at this point yet. So, and that grant would be to pay for a consultant to go through the process of that study and come up with that plan. So.
Where are we at on the, forgive me because I forgot what it was called, and I was assuming that was this one, the group, lost the term I was going to use, the group that was, you know, explorer from Hoffman all the way into Ledgeview on pulling those trees out of the river.
Okay, is that the group that was working on the water trail, I believe?
Is that
yeah,
what it is?
Yeah, that one. From my understanding, they're still in the process of...
it's a watershed group, isn't it?
Well, that one is a combination of the watershed group, okay. But also... Brown County Land and Water Conservation.
Okay.
They were kind of spearheading that. They were going to use ARPA funding, and they were looking at trying to gather more funding for that. So I don't have a whole lot more from an update perspective. I haven't heard a lot in the last month or several months with that.
I thought they were actually going to get started on that this year, this spring.
Right.
Jerry, the background on that is an organization. Partially, I think, self-funded and other funds incorporating into it. And I'm embarrassed that I don't know but the name of the organization. But their group was going to start cleaning up the East River shoreline on both sides from Hoffman Road all the way into Ledgeview. Actually starting in Ledgeview and working up until Hoffman Road, where they believe they had the funding to do. And then continue on Hoffman Road to Green Bay, to the Bay of Green Bay at some point. But to pull those dead overhanging trees off the riverbanks and to clean up those banks where there's a lot of erosion and try to see if there was some way that they could slow that
down. Right. The group that's working on that with the water trail, like I said, it was spearheaded by Brown County Land and Water Conservation, but also the villages of Alloway, Bellevue, City of De Pere, Ledgeview, Wheelow, the Nature Conservancy, Fox Wolf Watershed, and the Isaac Walton League. We're all parts of that group. We're working on that. So it's a collaboration that...
Big group.
Yeah, exactly. And...
be exciting to see that get underway.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in along that watershed, you know, with several different entities and groups that are trying to, you know, work together on different aspects, but, you know, kind of pulling them together. So I think in the next several years, there'll be a lot of exciting things, like Rob said, taking place along there. So.
Anything else on the grants?
Nope, that's it.
All right, information, updates, and discussion on various projects.
That first one that we have there, park security and Wi-Fi, I wanted to give the committee an update on some of the things we're working on and some other ideas with the park security and whatnot. We did go out and got some received a proposal for a security camera system throughout the park system. And looking at different aspects of those types of security cameras, whether it be hard drive type of storage or using Wi-Fi with the fiber optics and that. Received a cost estimate about $85,000, but that would be for 8 parks plus the LeBron yard waste site. That project was one that we moved forward as staff for use of ARPA funding was to pay for that. So we're looking to get that moving forward here in the next several weeks to hopefully get approval to proceed with that. With the fiber optic option of, you know, running that into the parks, having accessible Wi-Fi as well as utilizing that for the camera system gets to be quite costly because it's like any other service that you would get, you know, whether it's a internet service or TV service or whatnot. So you're paying a monthly fee on it. Annually, we're looking at like $1,500 per site. Could come up to like $12,000 if we decided to go annually, decided to do that route, you know, at all the sites. I think we have some options with that we can discuss, you know, with the village board, whether we wanted to go all in, do select sites, or not do it at all at this point in time. You know, we still can proceed with the security camera system to have them hard drives. You know, something happens, we can still, you know, have access to that. As far as how the cameras operate, we need to be able to mount them in locations that have 24/7 electric power, because on demand, you know, power. So not necessarily all of our locations would we be able to do that. You know, even if we used light poles, not all of our light poles have constant power to them. You know, the dusk to dawn, for instance, don't have power throughout the night, or throughout the daytime, I should say, because they just powered at night because of the sensors. Other locations where we don't have electric abilities, you know, to install these. So the majority of the places where we would look to put these would be around our facilities, around the buildings, and the active areas of the parks. So I, for instance, Green Isle, you know, we can cover quite a bit of Green Isle, especially the active areas, but maybe not as much of the trail system. You know, along the trail itself, if you're going down the East River Trail, there's a lot of areas where, you know, unfortunately you just wouldn't be able to capture with security camera systems. You know, looking at what our options are within those areas and having coverage around the buildings and entryways to the parks themselves, you know, to capture vehicles, things like that, I think that would go a long way in, you know, providing that secure option and that. So,
Is that common in other park systems?
To have security systems? It's becoming more and more common, especially when you're looking at, you know, bigger urban areas, larger urban areas. And I shouldn't say that just urban areas, even rural areas. You know, you look at some of the county systems, county park systems, they'll have security options at those type of locations. Unfortunately, it's becoming more and more of the norm in that. So a couple other things I wanted to mention now that my computer went to sleep. I did look into a couple of other things. One being a, let me see, here we go. It's a personal safety alarm system that you can't see because I didn't push the button. I saw this at one of the trade shows that I attended and then received some emails on it, but it's a personal safety alarm system that an individual can purchase. They're relatively cheap. The one on the left is $30, and it, you know, provides a high frequency alarm and a bright flashing light for somebody. The one on the right, I believe, is $40. Let's see what it says here. Is $31 with a $90 per year service fee that is an app through a phone, but also will provide instant access to live support. You know, if somebody wanted to go that route, they would, you know, be able to push a button and they would have someone that, you know, that they could speak with. Has a fake phone call thing option with it, as well as sharing a location sharing. I think that this would be a good option that maybe we could promote. Would be no cost to the village. We could promote this to users of our park system, trail systems, of, you know, here's a relatively inexpensive option for those users to acquire on their own, that could give them, you know, that safety factor. There are also just apps that you can download on your phone that do very similar things. I did, you know, in speaking with our recreation supervisor, we're looking into potentially start to, you know, provide maybe some safety classes or, you know, self-defense type classes where, you know, we could potentially market that throughout the Green Bay area and, you know, with other communities and maybe just hold them at various times at the different communities throughout. So, you know, not just Alloway hold a class, you know, we can work with Bellevue or DePere or at Schwabenon or Howard, you know, and hold them at different times so that we can just, you know, start to promote safety and security, you know, self-defense type things. So we're looking into that. Hopefully we can proceed with that. The last thing I did want to mention, and I unfortunately don't have a picture other than this pamphlet here, I did receive also some information on kind of the tower system. We had talked about this a year or so ago, how universities, you know, would have these towers with the flashing light and the safety button on them that you push. And after looking into it further, especially of places that have had these before, A, there's a maintenance with them associated with. First of all, there's a cost with them. There's maintenance with them. They don't last forever. You got to maintain them. And then there's vandalism aspect of them. So, you know, it's something that it sounds good maybe at the forefront, but then down the line might cause issues. The costs are anywhere from, the one that would be hardwired in is $4,200 each. And if you went with the solar option, it's $11,000 each. So, you know, you're getting quite costly there. And you know, my recommendation would go more this route with some, you know, self-defense type classes and that.
Those are real popular on the universities.
Right, and typically the university system has their own security too, right?
Yeah.
That they have, where, you know, if we were to go something that route, we'd have to work with Brown County Sheriff's Department,
right?
You know, and that. So, just, you know, wanted to provide, you know, some options there, you know, to, things to think about.
This system, you're not talking about replacing the security cameras with something.
Nope. Sorry, nope. Right?
In addition.
Correct. You know, and like I said, something like this, I think we could just promote it, put flyers out there, you know, put it on our Facebook page, stuff like that, and individuals, if they so chose, could go that route themselves. And I want to get those for my wife and my daughter, you know, as inexpensive as they are. And that, so, but I, you know, I think there's some options that we can start to look at and promote with that, so. Good. Any questions with any of that?
So with the cameras, you said you have 85,000 kind of allocated from ARPA funds.
Correct.
But if we don't do the 12,000 roughly annual subscription, what do the cameras provide?
The 12,000 would be above and beyond the 85.
Yep.
Yeah. Right.
Hard drive storage.
Hard drive storage.
What's the subscription providing?
It would provide
third-party companies?
Provide access remotely. Say I could sit in my office and I pull it up on the internet and I could, you know, that type of situation. So for that cost, it's kind of hard to justify, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, especially as small of a community as we have.
And the storage and everything else. I don't think we would need that.
You're right.
At least at the onset, might be something down the road.
Sure.
You know, you could always add that, you know, down the road too. Yeah. So
I don't foresee us having somebody watching and monitoring these cameras on a regular basis.
I don't either.
So maybe if there's something happens, then we go back and look, right?
Right, exactly. And maybe as a deterrent, when you do have them and people see them, then it becomes more of a deterrent, right?
Well, I would make them very visible.
Yep, yeah. And signage too.
Yeah.
Yep. Make sure you put signage.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Especially if you have audio portion to it, which we wouldn't, but yeah. So,
with the hard drive storage, is there any annual cost, or is it just the upfront?
No, just the upfront. Yep, yep. Anything else? Good. Update on tree removals. Trustee Atwood had wanted, you know, a little update on that. Just to give you guys an idea, our staff's been working this winter on doing removals of dead trees within the parks and along the trails. We did start in Greenough Park along the East River Trail, removing trees going south. They, I believe, got not quite to the bridge, but working on, you know, those trees that would be hazardous to users of the trails themselves or the parks, you know, which are more active areas. Try to make sure we take care of those first before we, you know, proceed into areas where it might be more natural or things like that. They also spent a few days, we had some dead trees along the west property line of Green Isle Park, kind of behind the houses that are along East River Drive there. That were, you know, along that property line, that were overhanging their property. So, you know, we took a few days to take care of some of those as well. Working on dead trees along the streets as well, you know, trying to finish up on those dead ash trees. We're looking to, you know, be getting close here in the next few months of, you know, taking care of that problem and that. The plan then. Go ahead.
The company that we hired 2 years ago.
Correct.
That won a bid that came in to take them down and left a lot of stumps. Have those stumps been removed?
Yes. All taken care of. Got rid of all those this past fall.
Good.
Our staff had that portion of that operation in house. We did that. So all taken care of. All the stumps have been cleaned up.
But the trees that that company left the stumps on. Did they take care of those?
No, we did that.
We did that?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that was okay. Correct. Their part of that contract was for them to remove the trees and take care of all the debris. And then our portion was to remove the stumps and re-landscape. Okay. And that. So. And then, our plan.
Are new trees being planted?
They will be, yep. Yeah, and that's part of what that grant is going to utilize for tree planting. Correct. That we'll be utilizing some of that for the replacement tree plantings. Also, we'll be looking at, like in the park areas and natural areas along, we're going to look to get tree seedlings, likely. Work with our scout groups. Try to, utilize them for some, volunteerism to do some plantings with that.
It's too bad a lot of those got swamped out when we had all the high water.
Yep. Yeah.
But to the tree removal that in the park right now and in parts of the trail, I noticed it. It looks good. So the one thing that was a little bit concerning on it was they've left a lot of brush. Is that going to be raked out of there?
If and when we can get to it, depending on, because that location where you're talking about is pretty wet.
Right.
So we'll have to see, if it freezes back up, they can get in there. Or we'll have to, see what it looks like, come spring, summer, maybe with that. I know that, I believe they went in there with some equipment to try to grind as much of that brush up as they could. And that's so, but whatever isn't, we'll have to get in there. As it allows it.
If that it'll makes be interesting sense. To see too once yeah. the trees that are still living, see how much more dead is in there.
Right, exactly.
I think there's still a lot of dead in there.
The thing we'll have to be careful about too is usually when you have a large opening, all of a sudden you'll maybe get some invasives that come in. We'll have to see if we can try to keep that under control and try to get some more trees planted back in there to start taking over and. So it'll be an ongoing project, especially along the trail. It's there's quite a bit. So last item I have on there, just a quick update on our Green Isle Fitness Equipment project. Our staff did get the concrete poured last fall for that, so that's all taken care of. And we received the equipment in early January. So as soon as weather permits, we'll start to get that installed. So hopefully here in the next month or so, depending on how the spring proceeds, get that installed and look forward to that project coming to completion. And it was interesting the number of people that I had asked me what was going on there.
Yeah, I was going to be one of them.
Right. Every person that asked me, I asked them if they knew, and there were all sorts of guesses. And then when I told them we're putting in fitness equipment, their eyes perked up and they were pretty excited about that. And yeah, I think that'll be a great addition, to the park there. So
I was guessing picnic benches, but I thought, what you were talking about would be a lot more interesting.
Yep. So it's like 10 different pieces. Oh. That'll be in there, to utilize, and so yeah, we're pretty excited about that project.
Yeah. So. Speaking of picnic benches, and it's not on the agenda, but Ryan had brought up some ideas a meeting or two ago about the memorials.
Any
additional thought on that?
I haven't had a chance to look into it at all or anything. And then when you hit winter, it's kind of hard to go visit it. I've never been there, so I don't know. I don't know if you've had any more information on that, Ryan, or.
I haven't really looked too much into it. I was actually going to talk with. I think I had a meeting agenda next last meeting, and I wasn't here. So, the only thought was some sort of instead of always doing benches, doing like a memorial garden or something. Mm-hmm. But I guess we have to get numbers on costs and stuff like that. I don't know if you ever been to St. Norbert. They have a memorial garden.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was using as kind of the example in my mind. People could start using donations for that versus just putting benches, more and more benches like we have been doing the past couple of years.
Yeah, Notre Dame Academy has that. Resurrection has that.
Yeah.
Better than having little stakes in the ground for trees over here and everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Right, if we could kind of consolidate into one spot. But, yeah, honestly, I didn't really have anything prepared for today, though.
No, so. I wasn't trying to put you on the spot. I just wanted to put anything done on it. Yeah. And I don't want to get too far ahead of an adjournment here before I throw this out as an observation. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but I saw the first thing, the first time I've ever seen this in 30 years of living in Alloway, in my current residence. Right across the street from me was a bald eagle, a good-sized one in the tree.
Yeah, nice.
And I saw it again today, so 2 days in a row.
Do you know where the nest is?
I don't.
Over by the DPR Ice Center.
Oh, really? Boy.
I was with somebody yesterday, and
that's on the other side of the river.
Yeah, and so we were trying to figure out how far they can fly. They have like a range of 15 miles.
Wow.
15 to 20 miles.
Yeah, as close as the crow flies.
I was surprised. Going all the way across the river just to come over here. And
I live probably as the crow flies 8 miles maybe from Thousand Islands Nature Center in Kaukauna. And that's where they have a lot of eagles. And my neighbor has a big dead tree in their backyard, and those eagles will fly and sit in that big dead tree. They'll just...
Yeah,
it's amazing.
I've never seen it. They're beautiful birds. But do you know the street light directly across from you?
Mm-hmm.
So it keeps perching in that tree right to the right of it.
Keep an eye out for it. That's
exciting. It's pretty cool. It's a big one, too. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
And I saw it again today. I mean, that kind of speaks to the area that it's improving, you know, to bring that type of wildlife back.
Agreed.
Maybe they'll get hungry for deer.
I saw that in the minutes, too.
Right.
Can they keep out of my yard?
We'll give you guys the tools to do it.
The guys at the Abbey tried that, and it didn't go over so well.
No.
And, you know, it's just those few people that just seem to be the loudest. You know, part of the problem is, you know, get rid of the bird feeders and the hostas and the things that the deer feed on, and you'll keep them out of your yard. But, you know, it's an urban hunt is always a possibility, and there's groups that do that. I've actually had people contact me that are pretty avid hunters that... And there's actually laws in place that permit you to harvest your own deer. Wisconsin state law, was it Title I or something?
Act 72.
Act 72. Yep.
You can use archery equipment on private property.
Yeah.
You know, to harvest.
You have to be. There's some strict rules that go with it. You know, in terms of yardage and expertise. But yeah, you can do it. And it's not very many people know about it.
They give my dog a workout, so I don't know where you guys live. Hopefully it's at work. I don't hear my dog. So.
No, I'm not. I don't hunt.
I don't hunt either.
So. We see a fair amount of them.
Yeah, they're over there.
Anyway,
okay.
I digress. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Your meeting.
All right. So there's nothing else on information. Any other future agenda items or thoughts?
Well, let's, you know, in one of the next couple of meetings or whatever, let's look into that Memorial Garden thing
and
come up with some ideas or thoughts.
You'd want me to prepare for that, or is it more, from my perspective, it's more of a, is it feasible cost-wise?
Right.
So I don't know how much...
Well, we can talk about that maybe a little bit,
okay,
and see if we can, you know, put something together, and
sure,
you know, even a little bit of a slideshow or something.
Sure.
See what.
Jerry, are you a member at Res?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know somebody that's involved in that garden?
You can find out.
That you could ask, what maybe the initial startup cost was.
And a lot of it was with donations.
Yeah.
So there's bricks and things like that you can buy. And,
yeah.
I can try to get some information.
They could have some at the prayer center that would give you an idea.
Sure, yeah.
Be interesting if you gather that. That'd be great.
Sure, maybe do something.
Any other items?
Just moving forward to the next meeting, we're getting closer and closer to spring.
Yeah.
Some of those things we're going to want to start talking about.
Next meeting, future agenda item, In March, we are likely going to have a short agenda because at 6 o'clock that evening, there will be a community meeting here at Village Hall with the YMCA. So I'm going to make sure we have a short agenda so we can all attend that. And that, so
that'll be one of the first question and answer. President Rafter will be there. I'll be there because I'm on that committee. President Rafter will be the go-to guy on the questions, and Sean Elliott, the YMCA director, will be there fielding questions. You know, the what ifs, who got this, who got that, when is it going to go, where are the donations? It'll be all kinds of questions that the public will have at that point that we'll be able to answer a lot of them.
And it'll allow us, you know, any of the members too, if they had questions, to hopefully get some answers to. Yeah. So,
and probably a lot of the questions we're not going to have answers to because it's so
sure.
early.
Yep.
It's so
yep.
early
yep.
in the process. That, I mean, still a year and a half away from putting a shovel in the ground.
There's no other future agenda items. I would look to adjourn.
So move. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. In favor? Anybody? Anybody opposed?
Adjourned at 6:08 p.m.